Romans 12:2. It's going to be our principle that we carry throughout the year. Do not conform to the patterns of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So over the next 11 weeks, we're going to take this principle and apply it to seven different areas in your life. Your relationships, your physical, your mental, your spiritual, your emotional, your financial, and your vocational, which includes volunteering, by the way, right? And we're going to look at these areas, and we're going to have to say, what does God say about every area in my life? And we're going to say, how can I look at these differently? How can I look at these the way that God looks so that I can think about these differently, so I can feel about these a little differently? Because when you think and you feel differently and you know differently, what do you think that you would do differently? You would act differently, right? Transformation, why do we care? Because I think transformation transforms us from emptiness into fullness, that abundant life that Jesus talks about. It changes us from defeat, it changes us from failure to go on to victory and to have this really full faith. It changes us from being insecure and feeling inferior to have that courage to face the world and to act in boldness in the name of Jesus Christ in this world. And I think that's what enables us to become the person that God made each one of you, the unique person that God made each one of you to be in this world. You see, because I think that you are here because God wanted you here today. You're in this place because God wanted you to be in this church, and you're in the world at this time because you have a particular calling that you're going to fulfill by being here. So I have to start this out asking, how's your spiritual life going? That might sound like a silly question. I don't know how often you ask that. But it's something we need to think about. And I got to tell you, usually when I say, how's my spiritual life going? I say to myself, okay, are you reading those scriptures every day? Are you praying every day? And it suddenly occurred to me that was really the wrong question to be asking. You know why? Because I got to thinking, when I'm reading the scriptures, when the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees, when we're reading about their coming together with Jesus, how did they judge their spiritual life? Were they reading the scriptures? Were they praying? So I had a good friend of mine, believe it or not, I have good friends, right? And that said, you know what? Let me give you two better questions that you should ask. And I think you might want to do this too. The first one is, am I growing more easily discouraged these days? Do I feel more discouraged than I normally were? And the second one, am I more easily irritated these days? All right? So more discouraged, more irritated. And why is that? They're good questions. Because the key to a healthy soul, a healthy spiritual life is that love of God growing in me, which would keep me from being discouraged, right? And is that joy and the peace that the Holy Spirit promises it'll bring, is that growing in me? Because if that's growing in me, I'm more able to love, and I'm not as irritable as I can be. So from now on, we have a way of judging each other, right? We don't judge each other, right? You know, part of the thing about talking about transformation is the fact that if we really looked at our lives, isn't there quite often, at least if you're like me, that you're disappointed with yourself, you know? Perhaps from things you've done, but sometimes more aspects of the person that I have become. And some of our disappointment will be trivial. For me, I wish I was as tall as my weight, see? That would be a really nice thing to be, right? Right? Or maybe I could do this financial wizardry so I don't have to watch every dime that I spend, right? And sometimes I have these neurotic disappointments, you know, like I wonder if people really like me, or if they like the church service, or if they like the sermon, you know, neurotically, right? Anybody else with me wonder about what people are thinking about you? Yeah. But that's pretty neurotic. But some I found in my life, some of those disappointments run even deeper. The deeper questions that I say to myself is, I wish I would have been a better mom. I wish I could be a better dad. I wish I could have been a better friend. Or I wish I could have been a better child. Or I wish I could be a better spouse or significant other. Deep down, aren't we all a little disappointed with the person that we really are? You know? When I think of, aren't we a little disappointed to say, I think that God created me to be a better person? Anybody ever feel that way? You know, when I think about that, about feeling inadequate, I think about Popeye the Sailor. My husband loved Popeye the Sailor. He also loved the Three Stooges. That tells you a little about him, right? But who remembers what Popeye's favorite saying was? I am what I am, right? You know? He knew who he was. He was a simple, seafaring, pipe-smoking, right? Olive oil-loving sailor, right? And I always thought his words were a little sad. I am what I am. Doesn't anticipate much growth, does it? Doesn't anticipate being able to change at all. It's almost like saying, don't expect too much from me. Don't get your hope up. I am what I am, right? But sometimes, that's the cry of the human race, isn't it? You know, this feeling of living between disappointment on one side and hope on the other, you know? I think we all are living in a state of disappointment most of the time. And when I'm saying disappointment, I'm saying disappointment. Because we aren't living the life, the appointment that God gave us to be able to live in our lives, you know. We've removed God from the central role that God has of creating us into this person, that's this appointed person in our lives, right? Each of us is called to be that person. And what am I doing? Nothing. I just look at Rob and he says, you're being you, right? We don't understand the process. It's mysterious, right? It's a mysterious process. We worship a God of mystery that God changes us into. The Apostle Paul said he was in the pangs of childbirth as God was being formed in him. And one of my favorite sayings is by Kierkegaard, who said, and now, Lord, with your help, I shall become the person I was supposed to be. A great deal of the stress and the problems that we have in our life, I think, comes from this disappointment, this not working hand in hand with our Creator. Most of us aren't following God's plan for our lives, you know? And the Bible says that if you do that, you're going to have a rough life. It says it's going to be full of thorns, it's going to be difficult, it's going to be rocky. And the further I get away from God, the more trouble, the more disappointment that I'm going to have in my life. We're called by God to live that lives, this unique self, but most of the time, you know, I'm busy saying no because I want to do my own thing. Maybe you can relate to that as well. But to grow spiritually, we have to begin to have the mind of Christ. We have to perceive what Jesus would feel, what Jesus would say, what Jesus might do in a circumstance. And sometimes we think, well, we have our life, and we have this life over here, and we have our spiritual life over there. But that's really not true, because God isn't asking for your spiritual life. God is asking for your life, period. Every component of it, every bit of it. He doesn't want to just redeem us. He wants to make us new creatures in Christ. Jesus made an announcement in the gospel about the new kingdom coming in, right? And the reason he does this is to say to us, you know, there is another existence that you can live. You can live in the world, or you can in believe what the world has to say, or you can have this existence, this abundant life that Jesus is offering you, and you need to choose to live it. And I think that this idea of transformation is deep within our souls. Who is there that doesn't want to be transformed? Who doesn't want to be a better person? And I think that's why people go to therapy, they go to health clubs, they read books, they read those self-help books, they go to motivational seminars. Every year they have these New Year's resolutions, which I break within the first week, right? That possibility of transformation, is that not what puts hope in our lives? That we can become this better person that we're called to be? The closer you get to God, the closer you can get to being transformed. Yet most of us, I think if we admit it, have a hard time figuring out how to really get close to God. And once we get close to God, how do you stay close to God? And if you've fallen away from God, how do you get back there? How do you get back to this close relationship with God? Some of you here can probably point to a time in your life when you'd say, man, I really felt God's presence there. Anybody here ever felt that before? It's just like God was so close. God was right here with you. You could sense this friendship. You could sense this joy, this peace in your life, right? Perhaps you've lost that. And you're wondering, how do we get closer to God? Well, the answer is you got to do something different than you're doing now. And it starts with a commitment to go into training. Just like an athlete would do, just like Paul talked about running the race, you have to go into training. It means I have to arrange my activities in my life around this ability to develop the fruit of the Spirit. Write my activities so I'm more loving, I'm more faithful, I have more hope. And these activities that we have are spiritual disciplines. And everybody goes, I don't want to do those. I think it's the word discipline. Some people call it holy habits. We could change it to that as well. And you're thinking, man, that is boring. I've tried that before. I don't want to do it. Who believes that? Oh, come on. All right, I'm the only truth. Two of us are truthful in this room, right? But they don't have to be. So, how could you do a spiritual discipline then that's not boring, that really you think would work to serve you? Well, first, you have to learn what is this particular barrier that keeps me from being more loving, to being more kind, to being more faithful, to being more gentle. What is that particular barrier? And then what particular practice could I put in my life that might help? Well, for example, let's say I really want to be more loving, but I've noticed I'm really grouchy because I'm not getting enough sleep. All right? So when your lack of sleep maybe the problem is causing this. So how do you build a spiritual discipline around that? Well, you begin to find ways. Your spiritual discipline is, I'm going to get more sleep. And you know why you're going to do that? Because sleep is a gift from God. And it's an act of trust that when you go to bed at night, that you realize that the world's in God's hands, not yours. You don't have to control your life while you're sleeping, right? And so by placing a spiritual practice of giving everything to God before you go to sleep at night, so that you get a better night's sleep, or let's say so that you can take a nap during the day. Some of us have a hard time with that, but a nap during the day can be a spiritual practice, right? Then you're better prepared to live more lovingly. Now, is that a difficult spiritual practice to put in your life? So first identify the barrier, and then think about the practice, because there is no one-size-fits-all. When it comes into it, you just look at your life. How are you living it? What are the barriers? And what practice could I put there? Finally, you might wonder, well, what's God's role in this whole spiritual growth? Well, God has told us that we can't do this by ourselves. I look at my life and say, that's pretty evident, isn't it, right? We can open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit, but it's the Holy Spirit that's working within us that allows us to become transformed. God is teaching us. God is leading us, but we have to pay attention to what God's doing in our lives. So over the next 4 weeks, not only will we be looking at your spiritual types that we did, we'll look at some different spiritual practices. We'll figure out, well, how do I learn best? You know, a sage learns differently than a lover or a prophet or a mystic. So we'll be talking about that. We'll teach you about people from different cultures in different times throughout the last 2,000 years that developed practices of their own, different ways of being spiritual, different ways of calling blessings in, because it's interesting to realize that God doesn't meet us only in one way. God meets us in many, many ways. God meets us in the church, but God also meets us on 4th Street or Main Street, whatever you want to call. He meets you in every place of your life, and all we have to do is recognize it to be transformed. So my question for you is, are you ready to go a year on a year-long journey with me toward transformation? Are you ready to truly be a better person, more loving, more compassionate, more devoted to God at the end of this year? Because if you are, I invite you to come along. Would you pray with me? Lord, this is our predicament. Over and over again, we lose sight of what's important and what isn't. We forget to ask ourselves, what really matters? We race through our lives with shallow relationships, frenzied, crazy schedules, Lord, and preoccupied souls. We come to you today and say, we're fed up with living our lives this way, Lord. We're fed up with doing it all under our own power, Lord. And the reason we're not close to you is because we've allowed all these other things to cloud our vision of you. We've allowed idols, Lord, into our lives. We've loved things other than you, and that's made you, Lord, feel so distant from us. But today we come back. We own up to our sins and our distance, and we offer you ourselves today, Lord. We offer you ourselves to go with you, Lord, on this year-round journey towards transformation. No longer are we going to pray, give me, give me, give me, Lord. We're now going to say, make me, change me, transform me, Lord. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I give myself back to you, Lord. I offer myself up to you, Lord. Make me your servant. I ask you, please, transform my life. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.